And it's time to talk sport now with Warwick Hadfield. Warwick, hello there.
Hello there, Fran.
I'm here in Parliament House and you're there where you are. In the AFLW, everyone is in furious agreement, including her peers. Erin Phillips is the most valuable player, the MVP in the comp.
Yeah, Fran, look after leading the Crows to the Premiership on Sunday, a game of which she was named best on ground. Yesterday, she was named as the Players Association's most valuable player, MVP, as you said. That's a gong voted on by her peers, and she got 143 votes, plenty more than Fremantle's Kiara Bowers, who was
second. How does that compare, 143? Is that blitzing it?
Blitzing it and then some, Fran. She got 143 votes. Kiara Bowers got 107, and the next best was down in the 80s. And look, there's the prospect of yet more recognition tonight when the AFLW names the winner of its Best and Fairest Award. This one is voted on, like the Brownlow, by the umpire, so it's a prestigious award too. And you put this together with all that Erin Phillips has achieved in basketball, Olympic silver, World Championship gold, 2 WNBA rings in the United States, 1 WNBL title as captain for Adelaide Lightning here in Australia. Little wonder folk are now declaring her one of this nation's greatest athletes. And I don't think you and I would be disagreeing with that right now, Fran.
No, let's hope her knee can repair.
That's a big thing for her. But look, she'll be there tonight, I'm sure. And as Jack Gibson famously said, pain only hurts when you feel it. And I would think that right now Erin Phillips would not be feeling too much pain. It was, as you know, it was her dream always to play Australian rules football. Her father, Greg, played for Port Adelaide and Collingwood. So she took up basketball because the opportunities weren't there for her in Australian rules football early in her career. But they're there now, and boy, has she grabbed them with both hands.
Yep, leaped like a startled gazelle. In football, yet another review into the sport has found what a lot of people know anyway, I think, A-League is in a bit of trouble.
Fran, round ball football has done more reviews than Margaret Pomerantz, and this one is inter alia, looking at whether the A-League should be a competition independent of the Football Federation of Australia. That's what the clubs want, but as ever in this sport, self-interest is also a prominent feature. As interest in the A-League competition is ebbing away, the people watching it at the grounds are not there in the numbers they should be, and also the people watching it on pay TV, and this has caused the pay TV folk to warn. And this is always a big warning to any sport, that unless things changed, they won't be throwing quite as much money around at the next television rights negotiations.
So what's happened, Warwick? Because, you know, the crowds were enormous for the A-League.
The fact that Western Sydney Wanderers aren't performing all that well, I mean, they're one of the teams that gets a huge following. It's just one of those things. All new competitions tend to plateau at some stage, and they are talking about bringing in two new clubs to try and boost interest in the competition, to try and spread the word of the A-League to even more parts of Australia. But it's Australian football, round ball football, has to, I guess, accept that it's always going to be in the shadow of Australian rules football and rugby league. And when you watch the English Premier League or European football, you always just know nagging in the back of your mind that what the A-League produces is just not quite up to that standard. And that's proved costly to other sports in the past. When you can see the best and know that when you go to your local games, you're not seeing the best, people that would rather stay home on the lounge chair sometimes, Fran.
Yeah, I guess that's right. In the AFL, a setback for Melbourne ahead of this week's Blood on the Floor Cup match against Essendon. Whoa, prize recruit Stephen May out injured.
And even at this early stage of the season, the supporters of both sides are baying for blood. It's Norton 2 for the Demons and Norton 2 for Essendon. Now, May, who moved from the Gold Coast, where he was captain, no less, he's got a groin injury. He missed the first game of the season because of suspension, and he played in the thrashing by Geelong last week. That was a whopper of a thrashing too. And as I said, that's put the Demons at Norton 2. Now, the Bombers, they were booed by their supporters during the loss to St Kilda. So you can see there's a lot of blood on the floor already, and more to come whichever side loses this weekend. The problems at Essendon are as much cultural as talent-based. The healing process following the supplement saga is far from over, despite what they might tell you at AFL House. And that's been highlighted by the growing support for James Hurd to return to the club, possibly even as coach. Now, that particular push, was begun by Kevin Sheedy, who still carries a very big stick at the club. I spent an hour in the same room as Sheedy and Hurd recently, Fran, and there was a special brand of electricity between those two men. Among everything else the pair share, and that includes premierships and so on, they both know the other bloke can coach.
Yeah, favoured sons, but that would be a big call, I reckon. In football, the Matildas are coming together in Denver for their important pre-World Cup match against the US this week. This would be a beauty.
It is, and it's quite the test for the new coach, Ante Milicic, ahead of the World Cup. The level of competition goes up from that Cup of Nations tournament. The Americans, of course, the best team in the world, and Denver, known as the Mile High City, presents its own challenges. But you'd have to think the Matildas have been getting accustomed to the dizzying heights for a while now. They're ranked six in the world, and of course, they've once beaten the USA. But this is their last serious hit out before the World Cup proper starts in June, and we'll keep an eye on what happens in the build-up to this game, and of course, to what's happening in June, Fran.
Warwick, indeed. Can't wait for June. Thank you very much.
Good on you, Fran.
Warwick Hadfield. You're listening to Hour and Breakfast. It's 24 minutes to 8.